Well, this is an in-person session with the Hot Seat with Dan Williams, the MLA for the constituency of Peace River. We are socially distanced. We know in this day and age we need to mention that. So Dan's in his spot. I'm in my spot. Dan, always great to have you on.
Always glad when you can make the time to hear me and see me in person, Kenny.
Amen to that. Now, I guess the first thing is that huge announcement for Lacrete in the last couple of days. We talked about the maternity ward. People are having babies up there. It is one of the youngest and fastest growing places in not just Alberta, but also all of Canada. So how important is it to make sure that this community and the county supported?
I think every single Albertan would support the desire to see mothers safely giving birth to their kids. In a first world country like ours, maternal health care is incredibly important. We know in a lot of countries that don't have sufficient health care around these situations, mothers and babies die at incredibly high rates compared to what we have here. It's a real human tragedy, and that's why I'm so glad to provide any support for any community in my constituency, especially the community of Lacrete, when it comes to this really important vital service that is, let's be honest, long overdue for a community of that size with the number of babies they have. Near 400 babies a year is quite a lot. I think this is a great news story, and all Albertans should be happy to see it happening.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd even heard stories that, like, sometimes people coming in through Blue Hills would sometimes have to, like, pull over on the side of the road, and would a lot of the times there'd be babies born in the back road. So that, and that, I understand that that happened quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot of babies that should have on their birth certificate, Highway 697. And you know, they're good stories when they come across and mom and baby are healthy, but God forbid there's a complication. God forbid there's a situation, especially in a first birth, where something goes sideways and they don't have readily accessible a comfortable place and the resources needed to have that emergency pregnancy. And I'm very, very happy that we're moving in the right direction with the sort of resources that the government has committed to, I mean, let's be honest, a really remote northern community. Yep. And all of our communities at some point have been in that spot. And we're grateful that communities like Peace River and Grimshaw and Manning and High Level and Fort Vermilion all have health centers at different points in their history that have been able to provide more services. And my goal is to maintain those and increase those everywhere I can. And that includes the community of Lacrete.
And speaking of Lacrete as well, we talked about things going sideways. This happened in April, May of last year, of course. Fort Vermilion and North Vermilion, also Buttertown, most people up there know it as. Very close to the Peace River, and obviously if there's any rise in that water level, as we all know, that can cause a lot of problems in communities. So nearly $17 million, you and Reeve Knudsen with the big beard were sitting side by side making that announcement yesterday. And just a little bit more about how that $17 million can help the community in the Fort Vermilion get back on their feet.
Yeah, that's right. And we know, living in the north, that there are disasters. You can talk about the Chuckay Creek, and you can talk about even these floods on the Peace River that had dozens of communities affected by it. Carcajou all the way along up to Fort Vermilion and Buttertown. And this is a huge amount of funds that are going towards helping relocate a number of people out of the floodplains. And Minister McIver's been clear, we want to try and fix this problem. We want to help these citizens. And it's particularly the folks that have been affected by the Fort Vermilion and area floods that we know want to continue to have a life in the north, want to make sure that their communities are sustainable going forward. And that's why these funds, up to $16.9 million, are allocated so that communities like Fort Vermilion and others that have been affected will be able to benefit and continue to have a sustainable life in the north. And it will continue to provide jobs as we do the relocation, diversify our economy, and make sure communities like Fort Vermilion not only have been here since the very beginning, it's the longest continuously inhabited town in the province, but are here for a very long time to come.
No doubt about it. And with all these projects that were announced in the last year, we got the Tompkins Landing Bridge. We also have the maternity clinic. There's a few other things as well, the Nova Gas Line. Do you have an idea when any of these projects are going to get started, especially the Nova Gas Line? We know that particular one, we're talking about 50 immediate jobs. I know lots of people throughout the north, especially, eager to get back to work. Any chance that starts this year?
My understanding that the gas line from Wolverine along Carcajou area, P5 heading north, it has had the engineering done, is in the process of doing that. I think over the coming construction seasons, they're going to be on the ground. Now, I can't give you exact timelines for when they're going to be done. You know how construction projects like this go.
Oh, yeah.
But every one of these, we're trying to get out the door as soon as possible. We understand that we need to have a relaunch strategy that diversifies our economy, that creates jobs immediately. That means the gas pipeline. That means schools like Quatre-Vents and the Peace River renovation of the original bridge. That means the Del Air Lodge upgrades. That means the stuff like the Highway 35 upgrade we saw last summer, and we're going to be doing more across the entire constituency with a huge amount of funds for transportation and infrastructure. That means trying to get the LaCrete clinic going as soon as possible. That means the massive mega project at the Tompkins Landing and Paddle Prairie Bridge happening as soon as possible and working with our partners there. So this is going to be a huge injection of dollars back into the communities that have provided so much for our province. It means jobs on the ground immediately, starting this construction season, continuing for half a decade plus. Some of these projects are very big, and that is going to be combined with oil and gas prices that now have, I think, a $9 differential, last I checked, over 50-some bucks a barrel for Western Canadian Select, more for West Texas Intermediate. We see canola prices incredibly high, highest we've seen per bushel in a very long time. We see lumber prices at record levels, right? All of these are industries that play prominently in our constituency that are going to lead to more and more jobs in the resource industry. So I'm really optimistic about the future of the province and particularly the north. I think that smart money's on northern Alberta doing really, really well.
You mentioned canola prices going up. Does this mean my oil for cooking is going to cost me a little more if this keeps happening? Am I going to have to pay a few more cents for that, you're thinking?
It's a global commodity market. I don't know if I can predict what's going to happen to our products in our kitchen. I am concerned that the carbon tax Trudeau's implemented will up those prices more than anything else. To be honest, everything requires carbon to get up here or to ship it out, whether it's products we're producing or goods we're bringing in. That includes your canola oil for cooking at home. And that's a concern that I have, and I've spoken strongly against what I think is a really opportunistic and selfish position from the Trudeau government trying to impose some New Deal green reset on us that is completely against the interests of our constituents. And to be fair, it's the kind of thing that is just not grounded in reality. The truth is there's no other opportunity for us but to develop these resources, to do it responsibly, and to use carbon to heat our homes, to drive on our roads, to run our businesses. And I think it's really, really, it's sadly, it's pitting Albertans against Eastern Canadians. It's pitting folks who don't have a direct connection and realize where their fleece comes from, where the oil in the vehicle comes from. And the gasoline, it's pitting them against Albertans and Western Canadians that work day to day in these commodity industries or our family members that do. And I think it's incredibly unfortunate that we have a federal prime minister that is more concerned about his electoral prospects out east than he is about unity of Canada.
Fair enough. And I guess also as well is that Philip Lawrence, a member of parliament for the Conservative Party of Canada, he came up with a couple of revisions to the carbon tax that it said that farmers would be exempt from this for propane and gas. Now, the bottom line is that I don't think that's going to help you very much if you have to drive from LaCrete to Edmonton. But at the very least, we know we have a lot of agriculture up here. That helps them a little bit. But at the same time in saying that, I guess how much are you kind of gritting your teeth and picking at your skin, wondering when the Supreme Court's going to make their decision, as Minister Madhu is eagerly waiting, I'm sure, as all of us are.
Yeah, all of Alberta's waiting on that Supreme Court decision. And I, of course, I support my federal Conservative colleagues. I work closely with Chris Warkentin and Arnold Virasen to try and push back on what is an imposition of, you know, Eastern Laurentian elite values onto Albertans. And I know that we have to support them as much as possible as Albertans, because those two individuals and their entire caucus really are fighting the fight of making sure that Alberta's voice is heard. And it needs to be heard in Ottawa now more than almost any time in our history. And I think it's absolutely paramount that Trudeau understands that what he's playing with is fire. I want to remain in United Canada. I think it's a beautiful place. The opportunity provided to my family because of the country we live in, the values that we hold, is so dear to me. And I can't let Trudeau push me out of my own country. And I'm just sick and tired of seeing him try and pretend like his values are Canadian values when they're not. They're not the Canada that I grew up in.
Fair enough. Now, I guess to bring back things more locally, this just popped into my head now, and that's the Dollar Lodge in Manning. We know that last year significant funding was there before all the COVID stuff hit. We were there at the announcement, and in saying that, is that one, too, that you hope to get started on if it's not already gotten started for the people in Manning?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know the town and the surrounding county have been working closely with Alberta Infrastructure to try and get this moving, and they'd like to see it as soon as possible. So would I. Obviously in the planning stages right now, the truth is we're going to be moving forward with that very quickly. And not only is it going to be good for those residents of the lodge, those family members, the folks who have residents in the lodge, but also it'll be good for the local community to see more of these government dollars coming back into the community that we work so hard and pay taxes and royalties out of.
Yeah, and final question for you. We see you all the time, Facebook, you're all over the place. I would say that this riding has either a third or roughly a third of Alberta's landmass in this riding. You have the biggest riding in Alberta as the MLA. So you've been all over the place. What have people been telling you, like, throughout the last little bit? You've been here, you've been there, you've been everywhere. What's everyone telling you?
Well, it's, I think, 16.5% of the landmass, so not a third.
Oh.
But I've also been spending some time in the neighboring constituency at Lesser Slave Lake. You add those two up together, and it's 27%. So we're right around a quarter
close
of the landmass.
Getting there.
And I think Albertans generally are optimistic, hopeful people. That's what I find when I talk to them. In the midst of a global pandemic that has had all sorts of consequences on Albertans, a horrible situation when it comes to the commodity prices until recently, which affects a lot of our industry. In spite of all of that, over the last 1 year really since we saw this pandemic begin, Albertans have been looking to the future. They've been looking for a hopeful opportunity and where to go next. And I'm happy to say that I'm hopeful with them. And I have my sights set on getting through spring into summer, where we're going to see less restrictions, continued growth in our commodity prices, continued growth in our local economy, in part due to that, in part due to the investments the province has made to diversify jobs, grow the economy. So I'm looking forward to this. I think there's a lot of reasons for Albertans and Northern Albertans to be looking ahead, hopefully. And that's what I've been hearing. They're looking for that silver lining. They're looking for light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm happy to tell them I see it.
Yeah, definitely good to see it. And hey, the days are getting longer, so we're going to be seeing more light regardless. And that's one thing that's beautiful. And I always tell this to Minister Schweitzer when he comes on the hot seat. Yeah, it's okay that he lives in Calgary. That's great. But you know what? You don't get the sunshine down there that we do, Minister. I mean, we have that up there. He can't take that, can he?
No, well, I think anytime someone comes up to the north, they come to, I tell them, come in the winter, come in the summer, but you really get a sense of the community when you come up in the summer.
Yeah.
There's no better place in the world than Peace Country in a long August evening, overlooking the river. Honestly, it makes my heart warm thinking of it. And I think that's where a lot of people's heads are at right now, is how do we get to that spot again? Let's get through this and get there.
Yeah, let's get there indeed. Dan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
No, appreciate it, Kenny. Talk to you soon.
This is Dan Williams, Peace River MLA, and this is an in-person edition, socially distanced, of The Hot Seat.